Blog Talk Radio.
Motherfucker.
My new favorite song, Welcome, Welcome. This is I Am Resistance in the End Times. And I felt the need to talk some shit, spread some bile in this wonderful toxic cesspool that is civilization. TIC, this is civilization. And I have spent an excellent amount of time these pandemic days studying, reading, watching the topic of my talk today, which is power, change, racism, and nihilism, the lies we tell. And there's so much to talk about, so much lies to talk about, because there's so many lies. It's not about debunking one lie or the other and accepting the truth of something else. We don't have to worry about that. Nihilism saves us there. But I've watched a lot, you know, and I've read a lot about race, about racism, just because it was there. And I felt I wanted to explore that as a necessity of being, I guess, alive here in this concentration camp. And, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about power and change and racism. And I always spend a lot of time on nihilism because it's there. But I got to watch it firsthand. The so-called riots, you know, what I think of as rebellions, uprisings against power. Right, against the concentration camp, you know, that exterminates so many for itself, you know, for exploitation, for its own purposes. There's no why here. We want a rationale, but there is none. It's just horror. But that's a caricature, right? It's a madness. I just finished a book called Columbus and Other Cannibals by Jack D. Forbes, and he describes it as the wetiko, a type of madness that is, I would akin to a feminist saying that it's a type of power worship, the insanity of power, imposing it on others, and then harvesting them for consumption. The living world, that is what civilization is. That's what power is in the disconnected context, the filtered, right? To understand power is to understand it through mediation, through a thought system. And that thought system is what captures us and puts us here, right? That disconnects us from the forbidden dimension of connection, of directly experiencing that which is not mediated, right? We'll talk about that later. But where we are, according to many, is civilization as a type of zoo, right? It's a place where people have been brought as captives. So it's a zoo, right? Christopher Ryan, I read his book. I've read both of his books, and I've always found them fairly interesting, especially his first book, Sex at Dawn, The Prehistoric Origins of Modern Sexuality. And then I waited 10 years for his second book, as I've talked about before, Civilized to Death. And he, you know, smashes on civilization wonderfully, but he also comes back with the usual standard ways of how do we make the zoo a better place. That's really what it always comes down to, is we have to keep the zoo because we're here in the zoo and we're domesticated to be in the zoo, and this is what power has done to us. But now we can try to take the power and make the zoo a utopia, right? The kinder, gentler, just, equal zoo, right? So we are only going to use power being that way to get you to do something, or you get penalized or exterminated, you know. So that's the point, is to get the power in the right hands, right? That's how it's, we just reform the power. We don't want to get rid of power. Oh gosh, we don't want to get rid of government structures, that the institutions that tell us how to live. Oh, we don't want that. No. We still need the means of production, and we need producers. We need those captives to make our stuff, right? Or I have to make stuff. I have to earn. I have to be part of that jobism. Without my job, right? And I've spent a great deal of time and night for my stupid job. I had to do a whole bunch of trainings due to our recent racial uprisings about anti-racism and talking about race and looking at how that, you know, how we support racism unintentionally due to our white privilege and all those wonderful things. And no doubt about it, there's nothing to refute there. It's they don't do anything. There's no wokeness, as they like to say. I am not woke because there's no one to be woke to. Wokeness is just bullshit. Right? It totally is. It's just a way to say that I'm an ally. Power's still there, and power's controlling everything. The powerful. Right? We're not doing anything. Right? You know, so you can't vote this out because it's something deeper and insidious, and it doesn't go away. It is the very nature of civilization itself, the very nature of consciousness. Oh, okay. But, and that's why change, that when we lie to ourselves, is that power can be mitigated, that it can be controlled, that it's not a disease. We can fix it. We can just have kinder, gentler powers of having better laws, says the liberal, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we know it's the same as the lie we tell ourselves about green technology. It's just an absolute lie. We are destroying the living world faster than ever, with ever greater viciousness and cruelty. It's brutal. It's just a constant brutal onslaught. It's just a daily atrocity, right? So how are we supposed to change that, right? It's like, it's a joke. And there's a ginormous military-industrial complex in every spot in the world. This is everywhere, that is there to take the mass population and exterminate necessary. Absolutely. There's no question about it. The United States of America doesn't have a $700 billion military to just simply exert itself on other places. We're Rome, but Rome itself is happy to take its citizens and dispense with them as well, because we know it's a corporatocracy. Well, maybe we don't, but but it is, some might say. So, you know, I racism in that regard, the isms that we live in of discriminatory practices, and they're interwoven into the fabric of our world, always have been prejudice, right? Judgment, saying this is this and this is, telling us what meaning is, that mediated consciousness, the filters that we use. And so we're constantly told, well, we just need to change our filters, have a paradigm shift, and create kinder, gentler, compassionate, therapeutic, trauma-informed filters. But what we find is that all filters are the same, equally brutal and savage modes that keep us in place and under the thumb of power, under the thumb of civilization. And there's, and that's where I think nihilism serves us very well, because it smashes the psychology that has to support that. It leaves us for dead. It's very painful, of course, for most of us to get caught in that sense, because our, because of identity, right? Identity is part of power. It's what's been imposed upon us to play these, who are you, and how we want to identify ourselves, and what words do you want to use, and, you know, how do you want to feel about that, and all these games that they're just absolute lies to get us caught in consciousness that says you are that, that something is this or that, and to get us in the game of playing is, well, you know, your likes and dislikes, and how do you identify yourself, and who owns your story, and who's writing your story, and what are you to your story? And again, it's the, caught in the nonsense of these narratives, and the very nature of narratives themselves. What nihilism does is smash that, right? It smashes it, and it doesn't ask or allow, for that matter, to replace it with another one, another bunch of smoke we blow up our ass, because that's what that is, in a sense. That's a way you could describe it, is that power, change, race, ableism, all the prejudices are to be negated, right? To see the forest for the trees, but we don't have to actually tell you what the forest is, because that, again, would be power. To tell you what is to put that filter in place and say, this is what meaning is. And that's why nihilism is so deadly and devastating and such an incredible threat to consciousness, to the filter systems that are there, that says, well, I see a tree, and what does the tree mean? Which that doesn't even, it's not necessarily a requirement, but we're told that we have to have that. It's like when someone gives you a gift and you don't know what to feel about it. You see something on in the world and you're like, well, I don't know how to make sense of that. And maybe that's the point. Then you go to your power base, your power worshiper, your master, your authority, and say, well, how am I supposed to make sense of that? So when I watch people attacking a store, which I got to do, how do I make sense of that? They're destroying the stores. And they're like, well, people say, well, what? How does that help? How does that help? How does that serve? What is destroying property going to bring justice to African-American people? When, if you spend a little bit of time, you know that whole line of thinking is absolute lies. Justice is a fiction, an illusion for those who are vulnerable. One of the books I've read recently, still reading, but almost done, is called Nobody, by Mark Lamont Hill. It's Nobody, Casualties of America's War on the Vulnerable, from Ferguson to Flint and beyond. And I had this book couple of years ago, and I had yet to read it. And after, you know, seeing all this and the constant murder of African American men, in particular, you know, African American, you know, I thought, you know, this is where I need to really delve into how we're seeing this and how they're framing it and apply it with some heavy duty nihilism. And, you know, I think that's what you have to do. But again, I can't tell somebody to do that because it's frightening, it's disturbing, and nihilism is scary to people because if they don't have a ready-made explanation for how they're supposed to make sense of the world that they're in, and they want to see it a certain way, it's very disheartening. So I don't talk to people. There's no point. They're caught in it so deeply. And not that I'm not. Oh, you don't. Let's not talk about me, man. You know, but that's where perhaps we can create those ruptures. And I think nihilism helps us there a great deal. Help. It destroys us and leaves us for dead. That's not very nice, but it's what's necessary, I guess, to see what's happening beyond the psychology and not get stuck in a psychology that says, I have to, if the world isn't as I have been told it is, imagine it to be, then I don't want to live anymore. I fall to suicidal despondency, which I get that. I truly do. I truly do. I think we see the horror of the power worshippers, the Wetiko, exploitation at every turn. Everything is about exploitation here. What use are you? I spent a whole month in May writing a daily blog, which I put the link in so you could read the month of nonsense that I wrote. But I put everything out there that I feel like I've ever wanted to say, and the horror of everyday life, the everything about this, and it didn't help me because there's nothing to help. I just see the lies, and I'm left for dead. I'm left bare. But there is no me, right? There's no me. I'm fucked. And that's the point, the nihilist. You're fucked. We're all fucked. Excuse my bad words. But that's the truth of the matter. Truth. That's the seeing. You see it. We are in a concentration camp. We are here as captives of civilization. And they recruit us and they say, well, don't you want to be happy? Why don't you have a dream and you can write your own story? But really what it is, it's just about jobism, selling and being sold, and it's just exploitation and exploitation and exploitation. It's toxicity, and it's normalized. That's what consciousness does. We adapt to it, and then everything is about employee-employer relationship. Everything is reduced to that between peoples. You go on social media, that's all it is. It's just noise and people exploiting one another or putting themselves out there to sell you something. And we think like, oh, I can be my authentic self and share it with people. Authentic selves are them, that mediation. Selves is them because there is no self and we know it. We sense it. There's no content to being alive. It's just life. It's life as it is. It's the what is that we experience in the unmediated, in the feral consciousness that only one person's really wrote about. Julian Langer, you beauty. You know, that breaking down that great lie, the great deception of self. And then we're caught in this. It's very powerful. So I don't underplay it. It's complicated. It's not simple. The layer after layer after layer after layer of conditioning that is imposed upon us is profound, profound, you know. And what what we're experiencing in everyday life is a horror. And you're like, well, isn't that a filter? I'm like, I don't think it is because I don't have to use words to sense things. That's the point, is that in our basic sense of experiencing directly, we sense something. But we can't, we're not allowed to have that. And that's the forbidden dimension, right? The forbidden dimension is that which is not discursive, that which is not a filter, that which is not mediated through power, because language itself is power, right? The discursive formations that Foucault talked about, knowledge, power, relationship, to go and frame something, reframe, frame and reframe is that dialectic, right? The dialectic. Oh, you Hegelians, you know, and Nietzsche smashes that every time you try to create. And that's where the nihilist sits there with that and says, when you negate in a pure sense of things, you cease to try to affirm. And that's why it's so hated, because it's so negative, and we don't, you know, you can't be negative. You can't be negative, because that doesn't make me feel good, right? Because, so I'm on some of these sites I like to write and play around, and one of the questions was asked was, well, if you're a nihilist, what keeps you motivated and not killing yourself? And what that presumes, I was going to write a response, but what that assumes is the psychology that we don't question, the psychology of what we're experiencing in the sense of challenging the filter for what we are experiencing, challenge the filter itself. So we could get into some metaphysical nonsense that says, oh, well, then you just, you know, it's all just filters, and without a filter, it's all not necessarily. I think we want to pretend that it ends up in some kind of absurdity based on a sense of logic. But we know that, I think that's a purposeful decoy to keep us corralled in the rules of logic that say A cannot be A and not A at the same time. And I think that's, that very limit is an act of power that says I'm going to control the limits of thought, which again, thought itself is nothing, right? It's everything and nothing. It's whatever it is, it is. You know what I mean? Like, but to say that it's somehow brought into some simple system that this is how you make sense of something, I think that can be challenged, and challenged that leaves you in the in between, right? That in between of despair, you know, chronological time, and the lies of futurity and fear and what I can get out of things. Blessed is the flame, as I can't recommend enough, as I have in many of my talks, and I think it's this person, Sarafinsky, just nails it down, and I often have to come back to it, because you know that, you know, we have to, if we have a chance, you know, as we sit in our hopelessness, is to create those ruptures. And that's what I saw in these uprisings, these rebellions against chronological time, and working to create, as he calls it, and using another author, messianic time, to create these ruptures in time, these, you know, these ruptures about the everyday life and the inconvenience. That's what troubles us most. It's, oh my God, it's so inconvenient. This is my livelihood. You've just destroyed my ability to feed my family. And that's true. But the very nature of you having to feed your family is a structure that says you have to jobism or your family starves because you're a captive, and we've set the structure. So yeah, again, it's oh, well, because I'm a white man, my suffering is more important than yours. That's power. And again, we know power don't know no color. Power knows only one thing, which is keeping itself alive. And it'll exterminate, torture, do anything to anyone. There's no limit. It'll round people up and mass execute them. It'll put them in showers that aren't showers. It'll round them up and put them in concentration camps, in concentration camps, within concentration camps. Oh, that's civilization. And it's, there's no why here. There's no why. We know there's no why. Why did, you know, so here's where I love this one. So for those who do not succumb to despair, The key to survival lay within the tension between logger time, chronological daily life, everyday lifetime, and suicidal despondency. That's where we live. We live in that suspension, that present between that. And the present, hence we're taught that all the time now in mindfulness, becomes a tyranny. The tyranny of the present. So there's those insurgents. There's an insurrection that can happen from time to time. And there is no outcome. There's no, like everybody said, well, does it make things better? Yeah, it makes things better. But what does better mean? We're just like, for that moment in time, it disrupts time. It disrupts, just like this pandemic. Pandemic shows that civilization is what creates pandemics by corralling people in the zoo and then letting them rot, right? We're not taking care of people because that's a fiction. That's the illusion of care and justice. We put everybody in their cells, hoping that this virus would maybe go away. So then we open back up and it spreads like wildfire, but lucky for us, it's not a high kill rate, right? It doesn't go around killing everybody. It just, you know, but except unless you have a compromised immune system or you're old, right? But, you know, here we are sitting at, you know, 160,000 deaths. And they'll say, oh, this could have been prevented. And they'll put all that safety nonsense out there. And, you know, sure, yeah, but civilization created this. Didn't create the virus, but again, a virus is a concept, right? So if we didn't have all these people crammed in the cities, I doubt this would happen. I'm not saying there wouldn't be disease. We know maybe there is, but blah, 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 blah. Those are all words. We know what's happening here. We can sense it, and we don't need words. But we're believers, and we know in every belief is a lie. We are stuck in it. We have to make sense of it. And if we don't, we fall to despair, confusion, depression. And we if we can't replace it with a new narrative, that paradigm shift, suicidal despondency follows quickly. You know, and we succumb to it. Some of us succumb to it, and I understand. And then some of us do other things. Some of us explode. Some of us dig holes. You know, it's all madness. And there's no hope. There's no hope. You have to dismantle power. When every aspect of our lives is ableist in that sense. Are you able to be of use? If not, you're the vulnerable. And if you're vulnerable, you will be crucified. You will be sacrificed. You will be, and we will just ignore it. We will just ignore your suffering because that's what we've been trained to do. That's what we're trained to do in civilization, is ignore the suffering. Sometimes we can't, and we act. Sometimes we can't, or we see it, and we explode. Or we see a rupture of another murdered human being for power and power only, for profit, and we explode. Jouissance, joy in that explosion, that rupture of chronological time, because we know the future is a lie, all part of the great lie. My rant comes to an end. Onward. For anyone still listening, don't forget to read that blog if you have some time.